RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urged the formulation of national culture strategy. Russia waiting green light from Indonesia to build nuclear plant. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo urged a national culture strategy covering all sectors across Indonesia to be formulated. This was stated by Education and Culture Minister Muhajir Effendi at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. He said that his ministry has been assigned to prepare such a strategy. He also mentioned that there is a concept of sovereign culture that is politically and economically independent and tempered. Russian ambassador to Indonesia Michael Glushin said that Russia is waiting for the readiness of Indonesian government to build a nuclear power plant, PLTN. He said on Wednesday, as quoted by business.com, that the cooperation is hampered by Indonesian regulation, which has not given a green light for nuclear power development because it is deemed hazardous. Ambassador Glushin has also appreciated the steps taken by the National Nuclear Energy Agency Batan in setting up research on the nuclear power plant. The Pacific Partnership 2016 completed its fifth and final mission in Padang, West Sumatra on August 31, 2016 in a bid to facilitate humanitarian assistance, disaster response, collaboration and training, medical and engineering subject matter, expert exchanges, cooperative health engagement and community relation events. Pacific Partnership personnel worked along with Indonesia military Tni, civil leadership and government official from the Padang community to improve interoperability and to enhance relationship. One of the main lines of deport is humanitarian assistance disaster relief field training exercise involving more than 200 participants including Pacific Partnership personnel and Indonesian agencies. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Rice, Chief of Staff and Lieutenant HADR planner for Pacific Partnership 2016 said that the field training exercise took place in three different locations in and around Padang. The participants cooperated to coordinate and execute a disaster response plan to two simulated earthquake and ensuing chaos within the city. The government of Indonesia will start the construction of special economic zone of Tanjung Kelayan on September 2nd. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya affirmed that the construction is the fastest in Indonesia 5 months after President Joko Widodo cleared it. Minister Arif also said that the Tanjung Kelayan project is realized as there is a good cooperation between the central government and regional government. He added that this is a real synergy. The realization is a fruit of the commitment from the Belitung Maritime Silk Road Construction, BMSR, the developer. He also pointed out Tanjung Kelayan will present 1 out of 10 major national tourism destinations. It will be expected to serve as Indonesian Maldives and the second Bali of Indonesia. The development itself is expected to cost the government about 20 trillion rupiah. It will be equipped with supporting facilities and infrastructure including international standard airport. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The governments of Indonesia and Malaysia have agreed to cooperate in economic field through Council Palm Oil Producing Countries, CPOCP, in the bilateral meeting which was held in Malaysia on Tuesday. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan told RRI on Wednesday that some points related to CPOCP had been agreed.
Kita sudah merampungkan mengenai pengurusnya, kemudian kita ngatur strategi kita.
We had finished about the management and then we arranged our strategy and made finance by 2 million each person for operational office. In December, the business forum in Jakarta and all issues which had been addressed will be completed in Jakarta from now until December.
Semua yang isu-isu yang sudah kita address, itu kita akan selesaikan nanti Jakarta sampai dari sekarang ya, sampai kepada bulan Desember.
Meanwhile, Malaysia Minister of Company, Farming and Commodity, Datuk Seri Mah Sian Kiong, told the press that in the future, together with Indonesia's side, will promote the assistance of other countries and tell diasporas the negative stigma about using palm oil. In the near future, side hopes that palm oil-producing countries such as Thailand, Nigeria, Colombia and Papua New Guinea will join and support the assistance of CPOCP. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan met with Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia Dato' Sri Ahmad Sahid Hamidi to discuss cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in the field of economy and industry. Minister Luhut told RRA in Suban, Malaysia on Wednesday that Malaysia is interested to explore oil and coal from Indonesia.
Beliau ingin masuk di East Natuna bersama Pertamina.
We want to become to East Natuna together with Pertamina so that oil exploration there can be run. Then Prime Minister also asked Indonesia to supply coal to Malaysia and the country will invest electricity in Indonesia.
Kita mensuplai mereka dengan batu bara dan dia juga investasi listrik di Indonesia.
In the meeting, Minister Luhut said that the improvement of Indonesia and Malaysian cooperation in terms of industry is also useful to strengthen the relationship between the two nations.
Pak Jahid bilang juga memang kita perlu Malaysia Indonesia.
Mr. Said also said we need the relationship of Malaysia and Indonesia is getting closer. They also offered their properties company to enter Indonesia such as tourism destinations of Lake Toba, Benoa as well as industry.
In addition to discussing the cooperation of Indonesia and Malaysia, Mr. Luhut and several boards of directors also attended parade of the 59th Malaysian National Day, which falls on Wednesday, August 31st. Russian ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Glushin, expressed appreciation for the successful Indonesian Moscow Festival 2016 that took place on August 20 until 21st, 2016 in Hermitage Park, which is one of the oldest and the most popular parks in Moscow. In a press briefing at the Russian ambassador residence in South Jakarta on Wednesday, the ambassador said that this festival is important to tighten the relationship between Indonesians and Russian people.
I'm sure that this festival was a great contribution to further development of Russian-Indonesian relations, and which is also very important mutual understanding and friendship between Russian and Indonesian people. And it is very good that such festival took place 3 months after the Russian-Indonesian summit meeting in Sochi in May. So it is a really brilliant event, and I appreciate this.
The Russian ambassador also added that the people in Moscow were impressed with the festival as it helps them feel Indonesia closer despite the geographical far distance. The festival, which presented various Indonesian culture and products, including handicraft furniture as well as traditional food and drink, was organized by the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow along with Central and East Europe Directorate of Indonesian Foreign Ministry and Tourism Ministry. To help Indonesians and Russians know more each other, the ambassador considered to organize events that can introduce Russian culture to people in Indonesia. The last item, Russian government opens opportunities for Indonesia to export its halal products. In a press briefing at the Russian ambassador residence in South Jakarta on Wednesday, Russian ambassador to Indonesia, Michael Glushin, revealed Russian potential for halal products because of its significant number of Muslim population.
I think it is the two-way cooperation. It's going to be a two-way cooperation. Of course, Russia is a market for halal products. Because we have more than 20 million of Russian compatriots, Russian citizens of Muslim belief, of Muslim religion. And they, of course, consume halal products. At the same time, there are some halal products produced in Russia that may be exported to Indonesia. And of course, I think we will appreciate Indonesian products exported, halal products exported to Russia, if they are in demand on the Russian side.
The ambassador also added that business people from the two countries are contacting each other to keep promoting cooperation in halal products. The potential of cooperation in this area is getting stronger as Indonesia got an offer from a Muslim, as to say, a Russian Muslim association in Moscow to fill a space in the first mall for Muslim where all products sold are halal certified. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, this is Rahmawati presenting you commentary entitled Caution, Zika is Near. Singapore admitted the existence of 41 new cases of Zika virus found in the island country. It is likely that there are more cases to be found because of the locally transferred of the virus. In May 2016, the Singapore health authorities have detected Zika virus in one patient who had just returned from Brazil. This had been handled by health officials to the maximum. Last Saturday, August 27, a female Malaysian was detected positive Zika. Authorities then checked 124 other people and found 41 new cases of Zika. Most people with Zika virus are foreign construction workers. To prevent the spread of the virus, health authorities in Singapore asked cessation of all activities and conducted investigations in all areas of construction. In a joint statement between the Health Ministry and the National Environment Agency, Sunday, August 28, of the 41 people affected by Zika, 34 people have recovered, while the rest are still undergoing treatment. The Malaysian woman, 47 years old, who contracted the Zika virus, had never traveled to Zika-affected areas. Most likely, she was infected with the virus in Singapore, and this justifies the notion that transmission of Zika virus has occurred in Singapore. Earlier this week, August 29, to prevent the expansion of Zika, the Singapore government had sent 200 officers to take action by draining water tanks and spraying in residential areas. Instructions were also given to health facilities to increase vigilance and report the incidence of new cases. In response to the case in Singapore, the World Health Organization has asked other countries to be alert to control the vector or mosquito and socialize the danger of Zika. High vector population in Southeast Asia is regarded as one of the causes of Zika spread. An expert in virology from Australia, Paul Young, considers the case in Southeast Asia is unique because the high vector population did not make Zika transmission occur easily. Prompt diagnosis can detect Zika early. Indonesia has done a right step to anticipate the attack of Zika through intensifying supervision across the entrance to Indonesia from Singapore. Indonesian Health Ministry has given cards to those who come from Singapore. The entrants who receive the card must report to health facilities if experience signs of Zika attack. Zika is not so deadly, though. It affects both men and women. But Zika can cause microcephalus or head shrink on fetuses. To prevent Zika entry to Indonesia may be difficult because the mosquito population is high. But early monitoring is expected to make Zika can be localized and easy to handle by the Indonesian health facility. Well, listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we start with the event on September 1st, 1923 when the Great Kantor Ichkuit struck the Kanto Plain. The Great Kantor Ichkuit struck the Kanto Plain on the Japanese main island of Honshu on September 1st, 1923. Various accounts indicate that the duration of the Ichkuit was between 4 and 10 minutes. This earthquake devastated Tokyo, the port of city of Yokohama, and the surrounding prefectures of Shiba, Kanagawa, and Shizuoka, and caused widespread damage throughout the Kanto region. Its power was so great in Kamakura, over 60 kilometers, or around 37 miles from the epicenter. It moved the great Buddha statue, which weighs about 84,000 kilograms and almost 2 feet high. Estimated casualty total about 142,800 deaths, including about 40,000 who went missing and were presumed dead. The damage from this natural disaster was the greatest sustained by the pre-war of Japan. In 1960, the Japanese government declared September 1st the anniversary of the quake as an annual disaster prevention day. The next event was in 1961 when the first conference of non-aligned movement was held in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. Asia-Africa Conference, which was held on 18 until 24 April 1955 in Bandung, West Java, and attended by 29 heads of state and government, was the inception of the non-aligned movement. The non-aligned movement held the first summit in Belgrade, Yugoslavia on 1st until 6 September 1961. On the first conference, the non-aligned movement was established. The first summit of the non-aligned movement was attended by 25 countries. In the first summit, the countries of the non-aligned movement's founders were determined to establish a movement and not an organization to avoid bureaucratic implications in building a collaborative effort among them. At the first summit, it was also asserted that the non-aligned movement is not directed to a passive role in international politics, but to formulate its own independent position that reflects the interests of those member countries. And the last event was Bogor Agricultural University was founded. Bogor Agricultural Institute, IPB, is a state-run agricultural university based in the city of Bogor, West Java, Indonesia. The institute began as an agricultural school founded by the Dutch colonial regime in the early 20th century. The first school in Bogor was established in 1876 under the name Lembuskut, the Buddhist, which means agricultural school. New schools for different fields were opened in the following years for native Indonesians. The institute started in the early 20th century as a veterinary medicine and agricultural school. After Indonesia gained its independence in 1950, Lembuskut Seventh became the Faculty of Agriculture of the University of Indonesia with three departments, socioeconomics, physical sciences, and forestry. In 1957, the Department of Land Fishery was formed. Meanwhile, Faculty 4, Dirgene Sekunde, became the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine and Animal Husbandry. IPB was founded on September 1, 1963 by the decision of Minister of Science and Higher Education No. 92-1963 and was approved by President Sukarno Decree No. 279-1965. At the time, the two faculties of Indonesian University, which were in Bogor, were separated into an independent institution. The University IPB has five faculties: agriculture, veterinary medicine, fisheries, animal science, and forestry. In 1964, the Faculty of Technology and Mechanization of Agriculture was added. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, our focus today entitled "The Government Support Domestic Industry and National Help to be Able to Compete in ASEAN Economic Community." Indonesia Minister of Industry is committed to increasing the independence of cosmetic industry and national help to reduce the imported raw materials. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto said that Indonesia has a great potential to develop this sector due to the high number of population and the availability of abundant natural resources. Therefore, the Minister of Industry emphasized the mastery of technology to the cosmetic and herbal industry players in order to be able to process local raw materials. This was stated by Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto at the opening of Cosmetic and Herbal Industry Exhibition 2016 in Jakarta on last Tuesday. He said the government is trying to grab the opportunity for market expansion and economic cooperation of the cosmetic industry and national herb. This is realized through the SIMT implementation of Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement. Minister Airlangga Hartarto also affirmed that today, Indonesia has entered the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, and in 2018 it will face a Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. On the same occasion, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, said that the government keeps improving the competitiveness of national industries by publishing a strategic policy to strengthen the structure of the sector. She also said that the government is aware that development of cosmetic industry and herb is a cross-sectoral cooperation which is integrated with each other. She also said the industry continues to be encouraged to rise. In its development, this industry also needs proper regulation on the health aspect and facilitation or development to ensure the standard and quality of the products. Minister Puan added that her side is actively coordinating with the Minister of Health and Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM, to combat illegal cosmetic products and herbal medicines. Meanwhile, Director General of Chemistry Trade and Miscellany ICTA at the Industry Ministry, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahjono, said that the exhibition Industrial Cosmetic and Herbal 2016 lasted for 4 days from 30 August to 2 September 2016 at Plaza Exhibition Industry and was attended by 29 cosmetic companies, 17 herbal medicine companies, and one pharmaceutical company. Ahmad added such activities expected that cosmetics and herbal products can become main domestic consumption in Indonesia. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo urged a national culture strategy covering all sectors across Indonesia to be formulated. This was stated by Education and Culture Minister Muhajir Effendi at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Galushin said that Russia is waiting for the readiness of Indonesian government to build a nuclear power plant. The Pacific Partnership 2016 completed its speech and final mission in Padang, West Sumatra on August 31, 2016 in a bid to facilitate humanitarian assistance, disaster response collaboration and training, and medical and engineering subject matter expert exchange, cooperative health engagement and community relation events. The government of Indonesia will start the construction of special economic zone of Tanjung Kelayan on September 2nd. Tourism Minister Ariyahya affirmed that the construction is deposited in Indonesia 5 months after President Joko Widodo cleared it. The governments of Indonesia and Malaysia have agreed to cooperate in the economic field through Council Pumped Oil Producing Country CPOCP in the Bali meeting, which was held in Malaysia on Tuesday. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan met with Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia, Dato' Sri Ahmad Sahid Hamidi, to discuss cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in the field of economy and industry. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, Michael Galushin, expressed appreciation for the successful Indonesian Moscow Festival 2016 that took place on August 20 until 21, 2016 in Hermitage Park, which is one of the oldest and the most popular parks in Moscow. Russian government opens opportunity for Indonesia to export its alar products in the press briefing at the Russian ambassador resident in South Jakarta on Wednesday. Russian ambassador to Indonesia Michael Galushin will feel Russia's potential for alar products because of its significant number of Muslim population. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to East Kalimantan to see Bedolop tradition. Stay tuned. Listener, Dayak is one of the native tribes in Kalimantan province. This tribe has many sub-tribes, one of them called Agabak Dayak sub-tribes. Agabak Dayak inhabit the Sembakung sub-district, Sebuku, Lumbis, and partly Bulungan Regency, all located in East Kalimantan. The tribe is known for its ancient traditions. One of these traditions called Kayau or Mengkayau. Mengkayau tradition is behead enemy tradition and has been going on for decades. However, Kayau tradition is now becoming obsolete. Currently, the Dayak Agabak tribe is friendly to anyone. Listener, Dayak Agabak still has an ancient tradition that is still maintained till nowadays. One of them called Bedolop tradition. Bedolop is a tradition of God's judgment in the Dayak Agabak community. This unique tradition was held to resolve problems that occurred among the Dayak Agabak community. Bedolop is the latest step taken to resolve disputes that occurred between fellow Agabak Dayak people if the dispute does not produce a solution for both parties. The high social sanction and psychological effects in Bedolop tradition makes the Dayak Agabak people no hasty to resolve a problem with the tradition. The case which is usually settled with Bedolop divers, such as theft, infidelity, land disputes, to murder. Listener, before holding Bedolop tradition, usually the elders will try to resolve disputes between people with deliberation amicably or by custom. Since to hold Bedolop ritual needs a big cost to provide the ransom for the losers in the ritual, both parties must provide the ransom, which is usually in the form of an ancient jar, which is tens to hundreds of million rupiah, or in the form of farm animals, such as pigs, in accordance with an agreement before the ritual begins. The losing party in Bedolop must bear the consequences, paid the ransom that agreed upon. The Bedolop ceremony is the prerogative rights of the elder. The success or failure of the Bedolop implementation relies heavily on the traditional elders. Listener, Bedolop tradition should be held on the river with certain requirements, such as wood of forest rambutan or kalambuku, as location of Bedolop actors and ceremonial requirements to summon ancestral spirits. To call the spirit of ancestors, it required the ceremony and equipment such as yellow rice, banana, yellow cloth, red cloth, and trees of Kalambuku. In the spirit ceremony, all the ancestral spirits of the land and sea are called to witness the Bodolo procession. The essence of this ceremony is asking for permission to God to judge the dispute parties. Then the two sides usher into the river. The elder has planted two pieces of Kalambuku wood. The two Kalambuku trees as the location for the dispute people to dive in the river. In Bodolo tradition, it's believed that innocent people can easily to breathe during the diving. As for the guilty, it is believed they will be disrupted by aquatic animals and the spirits of their ancestors. Those found guilty could be bleeding if desperate to survive in the water. It could even lead to death. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bodolo tradition from East Kalimantan. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Bromo Marathon 2016. Stay tuned. Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park is an Indonesian national park that's situated in Pasuruan, East Java. The 58,000-hectare national park is rich in flora and fauna and its natural beauty. No wonder if the national park becomes one of the main tourism destination out of 10 priority destination by the Indonesian Tourism Ministry to be promoted. One of the promotion efforts for the national park is by holding a Bromo Marathon 2016. The cross-country event will be held on September 4, 2016. There are three categories at the marathon, namely 10K, full marathon, and half marathon. On full marathon, the participants will run on the valley of 1,758 to 2,469 meters above sea level. The route will begin at Tosari Tengger, then circling some villages of Mount Bromo. The participants will witness an absolute sacred and silence of the village around the area, but they will also be challenged by the difficult road. The adventure will continue, passing through the forest at Ngadiwono village to Mororejo Ngawu village, and end at Tosari village. On the half marathon category, the start and finish will be at Tosari village. The route combines several situations at the national park at 2,400 meters above sea level valley. Meanwhile, for 10K marathon, the starting point will be at Tosari Tengger village and back to the same spot. The runners will go up entering the small village in Podokoyo and Tengger traditional market. Bromo Marathon not only presents interesting landscapes and challenging routes, but it will also take the participants to see the Bromo people's daily life and the uniqueness of Tengger culture. Bromo Marathon is held because of community involvement to develop education, health, and economy of local people. This year is the fourth Bromo Marathon. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany, which tells about the 2016 Bromo Marathon. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again on the next edition of Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, Jamal Mirdad. Listener, mostly Indonesian pop singers who ever reach peak of popularity turn their career, like Jamal Mirdad, who ever popular with the songs composed by Arianto in 80s. Now he is member of parliament from the Democratic Party. He left his singing and stage career due to his stance as the people's representatives. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hati Selembut Salju by Jamal Mirdad. Happy listening.
bangau terbang ke kandang setahun sekali, menemui cintanya lagi. Memang ku harapkan dan selalu ku impikan, kau datang dengan cinta.
The song that we've just listened successfully catapulted the popularity of Jamal Mirdad in Indonesian pop music world. His singing career is very different from other singers. Only with passion and a strong will, supported by vocal talent, he successfully penetrated the Indonesian pop music industry at that time. A famous musician and composer, Arianto, who know the ability of Jamal Mirdad's vocal character, composed a song that matches with the color and vocal character of Jamal Mirdad. He gained a good luck. The song was accepted in the market and eventually brought Jamal Mirdad managed to put his popularity level with other singers in the country. But his golden era left him behind. Jamal tried to turn to the business. Finally, he managed to come to the Parliament building as a member of Indonesian Parliament. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hati Lebur Jadi Debu by Jamal Mirdad.
Titik-titik noda tertinggal di dalam dada, guratan hatiku masih ada. Tergores ingatan, pahit ku rasakan, hari ini hati masih luka. Jadi debu. Mungkinkan ku datang
The song Hati Lebur Jadi Debu included the song that catapulted Mirdad's popularity and often played on the private radios in the country, but it did not long last, though the song's lyrics mostly tell about grief feeling and a sense of deep love. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Hati Seorang Kawan Baru by Jamal Mirdad. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bukan aku membucimu, engkaulah satu antara seribu. Bukan aku merayumu, engkaulah satu pilihan jiwaku. Darah manis kawan baru aku ucapkan setulus hatiku. Percayalah kepadaku, ku bawa mimpi karena rasa rindu. Aku menanti sampai kini, dari hari ke hari katakan kepadaku, kau menganggapku hanya kawan baru. Engkau satu penghiburku, ku panjangkan harapan cinta padamu. Terimalah hati ini yang darah manis ayu, berikanlah cintamu. Wajah lembut nan menawan, menyiram dingin luka di hatiku. Dua tanganku memohon, sirami pula bunga dalam dada. Ku menanti sampai kini, dari hari ke hari jawaban pasti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
beredar dari sekelilingku. Ku dengar kamu menduakanku, hatiku terbakar bercampur rasa malu. Benarkah ini menimpa aku? Mana buktinya? Ini urusanku, takkan terburu nafsu. Ku cari kamu, ayo bicara. Ku tatap tajam wajah yang menawan. Ada rahasia, ada kepalsuan. Petir menyambar.
aku masih ragu-ragu dengar kabar buruk tentang kekasihku. Katanya dia mulai main api, membagi cintanya kepada yang lain. Aku cari-cari sebabnya, lalu ku koreksi segalanya. Ternyata memang aku salah juga, terlalu lama berdua dengannya. Tetapi tiada satu kepastian, hingga dia bingung jadi atau tidak. Itulah problema cintaku, tapi lain kali tak mesti terjadi. Andai kau tahu rindu di hatiku, hanya untuk masa yang rasanya tak pernah berubah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.